All right. Good morning, everyone. It's 8:30, so let's get started. Welcome to the first session of the day. I guess everyone can hear me okay? Okay, perfect. So we're a small crowd, so we can make this session more interactive. So if you have questions along the way, feel free to raise your hand and ask. I will try to take as many questions as I can, but I also have a lot of content, so I'll move forward in some cases. But I think, I mean, with this number of people, we can do it as interactive as you want. So it's always exciting to be here at this conference and be able to share the work that we're doing back at Redmond. So today we're going to talk about Office and Office extensibility. So about a year ago, we released Office 2013. You're probably familiar with that. One of the interesting things about that release is that along with that release, we also released the Office 365 app model. And from a developer perspective, that release is a major revision for Office extensibility, because we introduce a brand new way to extend Office. Compared to VBA, that was introduced 20, 25 years ago, we're now modernizing the Office development platform to enable new ways to extend Office, embracing the web, adopting open standards, and allow you to create solutions that work great on the cloud and on devices. So you've probably seen a lot of cloud and devices in the company, and Office is not the exception. So we want to make sure that we provide developers with the tools and the platform that allow you to reach those environments as well. So with this 2013 release, we started a journey. And in the last year, since we released the 2013 RTM, we continued working on this platform. We see this as a multi-year journey where we will continue to evolve and add more capabilities to the platform. So what we're going to see today is one of the first steps that we took a year ago, and all the work that we have done in the past year to enhance that platform. About a couple of months ago, we released the Service Pack 1 for 2013. And that Service Pack 1, also from a developer perspective, it's a huge release. Normally, Service Pack 1s are just like bug fixes and security and performance enhancements. In this release, we actually use the Service Pack 1 to release a whole new set of developer capabilities. So in this session, we're going to look at all the new capabilities released with Service Pack 1. So my name is Rolando Jimenez, and I'm a lead program manager in the Office Development Platform team. My team is a team that owns Office programmability all up. So from the old VBA, COM add-ins, SharePoint extensibility, to the new app model. And as I said, it's really exciting to be here and be able to share all the new work that we've been doing in the last year or so. So before we dive into the details, I'm going to spend most of the session doing demos, but I do want to set the context for where we're coming from. So this is a high-level slide that shows how we see Office extensibility playing a role in Office solutions or in custom solutions created by developers. So it's actually pretty simple. We are making investments in two different areas. The first one is what we call our API, Office 365 API platform. So what we're doing there is we're exposing all of Office 365 as a set of services that are accessible via web interfaces like REST APIs. And the goal there is that you can enable or bring the power of those Office services to your own endpoints. So if you have a website or you have a mobile device where you want to bring the Office services, it's easily doable by using these APIs. And these APIs give you everything you need from authentication, authorization using open standards like OAuth, all the way to the actual APIs that you will need to interact with documents, with mail, with people, with all the useful Office objects that are stored in Office 365 environments. Now, there is another way in which we're making Office relevant to your solutions, and this is what we call contextual apps. So contextual apps is kind of the reverse direction of the platform APIs. It is about bringing your content and your custom functionality inside Office. And if you think about it, there is a billion users using Office. Office is the most popular productivity suite in the planet. So having the ability to bring your custom functionality in the context of Office and save the users having to switch to different applications every time they need to complete a scenario is a huge opportunity to boost their productivity. So we're going to see in this session how we can go about enabling these type of contextual apps. And of course, we're doing investments on tooling experiences. We're integrating with Azure. We're making sure that the platform works great with Visual Studio. But since we are using open standards, you can actually use any tool that you can use for doing web development. And we're going to take a look at that. So for this session, we're going to focus on contextual apps. How do you enable contextual experiences that bring your services and your functionality inside the Office applications? And Apps for Office is the way in which we do that in the new app model. So for today, I'm going to do a quick update on Apps for Office, which is the way we enable these contextual experiences. We're going to take a look at what is new since last year, since we released the 2013 RTM, and all the new things that come with Service Pack 1. And then we're going to wrap up with some key takeaways and call to action. So for the Apps for Office update, I'd like to show the current state of things, what types of solutions can be created, and what types of solutions we would like you to create with the current platform. And then we're going to start talking about the new things in Service Pack 1, just to give a sense of what was released a year ago, what it was released a couple of months ago with the Service Pack 1. So for that, I want to show one of the apps that I like a lot. It's a real app that has shipped a couple of months ago, almost at the same time as the Service Pack 1. We made a partnership with DocuSign. And DocuSign is enabling a solution for Office 365 that allows users to do document digital signatures in different places along Office 365. And I really like this solution because it actually shows how to integrate contextual experiences in all the different endpoints that Office 365 offers. So let me switch to my demo machine. I'm going to start this scenario, this demo, with a scenario for a company that it's a marketing services company. So in that case, let's say it's Fabricam, and I'm an account manager there. And I work all the time with customers, with providers. I need to do projects. I need to deal with a lot of the media content production. So in this case, I'm here in my Outlook inbox. And I just received an email from Janice Riley sending me a service quote that I requested. And she's asking me to sign it. So now, what I want to show you is how DocuSign enables contextual experiences via Apps for Office to allow high productivity in this particular scenario. So the first thing I want to show you is there is this Apps for Office bar. This is where users will find the contextual experiences that you provide to them. And you can see DocuSign here. I'm going to click on that. And one of the things I want to talk about here is that as a user, as an account manager in Fabricam, I didn't have to install this app. This app was rolled out to me by my IT admin. So IT admins have the capability of just deploying these solutions to all the users in their Office 365 organization. And these will automatically appear in my inbox because the admin decided that I needed that app. So as you can see, I just click the app, and the app automatically opens the attachment that Janice sent me. And here, without leaving Outlook, I can see a preview. And this is provided by DocuSign. This whole experience is actually just a window into the DocuSign services. So this is about projecting the DocuSign service inside Outlook. I can see and review the quote right here. I can actually drag my signature and just sign the document here. So I just click Finish. And just by doing that, I sent back the document to Janice. So instead of having to print out, sign it, scan it, reattach it, and all that, just in a couple of clicks, in 10 seconds, I already sent back the signature without leaving my Outlook context. So this is huge because you can see how there's a lot of these workflows where normally users in the enterprise need to switch context. Like if I'm in an email, I need to read some customer information, I need to switch to my CRM system. So imagine that you can now start projecting all those experiences inside the Office clients where users live. So that is Outlook. And for those of you who are not familiar with the new Apps for Office model, these apps work symmetrically on the desktop clients as well as on the web clients. So if you open this experience in Outlook OWA, you will actually see the same app. Let me actually show you that. Now in the browser, I'm using my Outlook web access experience. I can come to that same email, and you will see that I have the exact same experience. Because these apps are created using web technologies, so they run on the web, they run on desktop, and we expect to expand the platform to make these apps run anywhere Office runs. So you can see it recognizes that I already signed this document in the web app. So let me close that. I'm going to show you another contextual experience that DocuSign enabled as part of their solution. In this case, let's say I'm still an account manager at Fabricam, but it's a slightly different scenario. In this case, I'm working with a vendor, and I need to send a PO for that vendor to get their signature and be able to start the project. So at Microsoft, we have a template that we use for this type of statement of work or purchase order. You see, as soon as I open the template in Word, this template comes with this DocuSign task pane, which is another component of the DocuSign solution. And the template comes with it. So from a user perspective, I don't need to even think about it. I can just open the template and get that functionality right away. Now, what I'm going to do is open a purchase order that I've already filled in with some information. So the DocuSign task pane is there. And as you can imagine, I can just send this document for signature within the context of Word. But even before I do that, let's say, for example, that I want to extend this document. I'm going to use a different app, in this case, Wikipedia, which is another app that it's available in the Office Store. So users can acquire apps from the store as well, in addition to the apps that are pushed to them by their organization. So in this case, I'm doing something about QWERTY keyboards. And I want to put an image there to be very specific about what type of layout I need for this particular project. So as you can see, I selected the word QWERTY here. And Wikipedia automatically looks up that information from the web. So I don't need to go out to the browser and browse for that information. I want to find an image that represents what I want. So I can find, let's say, I'm interested in this particular layout for this project. And I can just click the plus sign here, and it's going to insert that image into my document automatically. So you can see how the apps not only read information from the document, but they can also write information to that document. So now that I have my purchase order complete, I can just come here to DocuSign and say I want to send these to, let's say, my boss, Brian Jones. Needs to sign in order to get this project started. I got some message here. And then, as you can expect, I think I already sent this document. But in this case, the DocuSign console will show, and I can sign the document using DocuSign right here from Word. The last part of the solution that I want to show you is how these apps can also integrate in environments like SharePoint. So in this case, similar scenario, I'm still an account manager at Fabricam. And I want to send this mutual NDA for signature. I've been working with a customer, going back and forth with my legal department. Of course, collaborating in SharePoint. I may have some workflows associated with these for the approval. But once the document is ready, I can come here, select the document, and you can see how DocuSign also integrated into SharePoint to have these contextual experiences. So no matter where I go, if I'm in Outlook, in Word, or in SharePoint, I have these contextual experiences provided by DocuSign that allow me to complete my work without leaving the office clients. So this is the power of what we have today, of what we released a year ago, and hopefully with these examples, you can start thinking about how these apps for Office can allow you to surface the information that you want for your users or your customers. So now let's do a quick recap of what we saw. So we saw how apps for Office enable contextual experiences across Office 365 desktop and online endpoints, both clients symmetrically. We saw how we can seamlessly integrate both Office 365 as well as third-party services like DocuSign, as well as content into the document authoring or the document collaboration experiences provided by Word, Outlook, Excel, SharePoint. You can imagine how instead of DocuSign services, you can connect to your own LOB system, to your own enterprise services. We didn't explicitly see these, but we actually saw a couple of aspects of how this solution is integrating into Azure. This solution from DocuSign is actually hosted in their own DocuSign environment, but it could have been hosted in Azure as well, leveraging the power of Azure. DocuSign is integrating with Azure Active Directory to provide a single sign-on experience. So, something that you didn't see is I didn't have to sign into DocuSign, even though there is a DocuSign account for me. And the reason I didn't have to sign is because DocuSign recognizes Office 365 credentials and integrated in a single sign-on experience. So all I need to do is be logged in with my Office 365 account, enterprise user account, and DocuSign will recognize that and will give me the services because they know I have a subscription with them. And the last thing that we saw is the streamlined enterprise deployment that we provide with this new Apps for Office platform. We talked about how IT admins can deploy these apps to their employees, and we're actually going to see an actual demo of how you can do that deployment across your org later on. And we also invested a lot in the life cycle, making sure that you have a way to roll out updates. If you have a security issue that you can actually like block apps from running if you know there's a security issue and you want to wait for the security to be fixed. So as I said, in the last Service Pack 1, which was released a couple of months ago, we added a lot of enhancements to the initial release. So this is just a quick list of all the things we added. We're actually going to drill down into all these new capabilities. But just to give you a high-level overview at this point, we enable a new way to extend Outlook and OWASP, which is the ability to create compose apps. In the RTM release, we only enabled you to extend the read experiences. Now you can extend the compose experiences. We also enabled apps in PowerPoint to be able to extend the slide contents. We enable apps to extend Access apps. We enable new APIs in Excel. We also enable new apps in Word. We did a bunch of UX and store enhancements to make it easier for users to acquire apps from the store. And of course, we did all the corresponding tooling enhancements. So in the rest of the session, we're going to see demos of all these new capabilities. Just before we jump into the demos, here's some information about the Service Pack 1. If you haven't downloaded it or acquired it, you will have this slide available, but it's rolling out already for Office 365 subscribers. It's an automatically rollout, so all users that are subscribing to Office 365 will get it automatically. In the enterprise, you will have to either download it from Microsoft Update or roll it out in your own environment. Here's some information about what to check in terms of validating if you already have it. Let's jump into the actual demos. So I'm going to start with PowerPoint. Again, this is a brand new capability that we just introduced in Service Pack 1. So I'm going to open my deck in edit mode. And for this demo, I'm going to need your help. So I'm in edit mode, and I have a slide, and I want to ask you a question. This is not a huge crowd, but I mean, still interesting to have this type of interactive question to the audience. So for this, I'm going to show you a new app that was released to the store like about a month ago. It's an app called Poll Everywhere. And Poll Everywhere is a service that allows you to do live polling in your presentations. They created an app for Office. And I can acquire it as an individual from the Office store. So I went to the Insert ribbon, click Insert an app. And I have all the apps that I have added to my personal account here. So I can click Poll Everywhere and insert it. And this is going to allow me to create a new poll as part of this presentation. And you can see how the app becomes just content in the slide. But this is actually a web page hosted at Poll Everywhere. If I right click and view the source, you can see that this is actually HTML and JavaScript that it's being served by the Poll Everywhere service just projected inside PowerPoint. Now, in this case, I want to ask you a multi-choice question, and I want to know if you are learning apps for Office, if you're already developing some apps for Office, or if you have already released some project that integrate apps for Office. So I'd like you to ask, I'd like to ask you that question. I'm going to have those three choices. And I can just click this button, create new poll. This is going to connect to the Poll Everywhere service and actually enable you to answer this poll. So if you have a phone right now, you can go ahead and text any of these codes, depending on your answer, A for learning, B for developing, and C for already released an app. So just text this code to this number. And while you guys do that, I'm also going to show you another capability we have in PowerPoint. We can see the audience already started responding to this poll. I'm going to add another app here. As you can see, we also have task panes. And in this case, there's this QR for Office. It's another app that allows me to generate QR codes. So if I wanted to complete this slide and even make it easier for you to type the URL, I can type the URL that you will need to also respond this poll on the web as opposed to doing text messaging. I can give you that's the URL that you would use. It gives me a nice QR code I can copy directly from here and paste into my slide. And right there, using Apps for Office, without leaving PowerPoint, I created the QR code for my URL. I generated a live poll that you guys can fill out. And now if I go to slideshow mode, you can see how that's life-changing. So I can see the majority of people here is learning, but we do have a couple or a few people developing apps and a few people that have already released some apps. So I'll try to make sure that I call out some of the new capabilities in Service Pack 1 for those already developing or familiar with RTM. But we'll also try to cover the basics for those that are learning. So just to show you, these apps integrate really well with Office. In this case, if I went ahead and changed the design for my presentation, you can see how the app picks up the new theme. So you can make these apps behave really integrated into the Office environment. Another thing that I want to show you is I can save this presentation. I loaded this presentation from my Office 365 environment. So if I save it and now go to the web, you can see if I refresh this page, you can see how this was just saved a few seconds ago. I'm going to open this same presentation but now in the PowerPoint Online experience. And I'm going to navigate to that same slide where I just added the poll. So you can see how the experience just continues in the web. It's exactly the same app from a developer perspective. It's the same code base. And I have the same poll that you guys were filling live in this session right in my online experience. So it's a really great way to enable these extensions all over the clients that people use to interact with Office. So just a quick recap of what we saw in PowerPoint. We saw these new type of content apps that allow you to extend the content of the slide with interactive content, like polls. But you can imagine, I mean, if you wanted to have like reporting or like sales, customer information, or have probably some visualizations from your backend database, you could also project that directly into slides and enable users to have live information from any system in the enterprise. We enable a few new APIs. So for those of you already developing for PowerPoint, there's new APIs in Service Pack 1 for navigation across slides. We saw the theming integration so that your content can look right in the slide. We also enable a new file handling capability. So for example, if you want to publish the slide deck to a particular service or location, you'll be able to do that programmatically, as well as new Visual Studio project templates that facilitate the creation of these type of apps. I'm going to switch now to Outlook. So this is a power hour, so the format is just like a series of demo, hopefully to trigger the idea so that you can see all the capabilities. Again, if you have questions, feel free to interrupt. But let me show a couple of things that we added in Outlook. I'm going to close my presentation here. And I'm going to jump into Visual Studio and show you what is the creation experience for these apps for Office. I'm going to start a new project. You will find these new project templates for Apps for Office and Apps for SharePoint. I'm just going to start with a new app. In this case, I want to extend email compose experience. So I'm going to select mail in this wizard. And I'm going to leave the defaults. I can extend only email or appointments or both. And also the read extension or the compose extension. I'm going to do everything for this solution. Just click finish. And as you would expect, Visual Studio is going to generate all the different artifacts that I need. In reality, Apps for Office are very simple. It's just a manifest file that you can see here that specifies things like the name of the app, an ID, a version, what type of extension it is providing, and a URL for where the app is hosted. In this case, I'm going to be debugging, so hosting in this local machine. And then there's the web project for the app. So for those that are not familiar with App for Office development, these apps for Office are just developed as web projects. So it's just HTML and JavaScript. So in this case, I'm using a couple of HTML files here to provide the UI. One of the key things that you need to do is include this Office JavaScript library. This is what gives you access to the object model and interact with the content. So without any modification, I'm just going to click Run here and see what Visual Studio gives me out of the box. So it's going to connect to my Office 365 environment to enable the debugging experience. So I'm going to be doing a remote debugging here. Already have my password. So at this point, what this is going to do is basically going to package the app and deploy it to my Exchange server. Basically, just the manifest of the app is what needs to go to Exchange. And the rest of the code, everything in the web project, is going to be hosted in my local host right now. But of course, in a production environment, you would want to host that in Azure or some other hosting location. So let's see what I got from the default project in Visual Studio. So when I create a new email, now this is new for Service Pack 1. I have these new apps entry point here where I can launch apps that have been provided in this mailbox. You can see here's the app one that we just created. And in this case, it's just a default Visual Studio template that allows me to just set the subject, get the subject of the email. You can see I can read that. I can also change the recipients, the CC line, the to line. I can control all of that. So this is not that interesting. Let's build an actual useful scenario for Outlook with this platform. So one of the things that I always do is I invite customers or partners to the Microsoft campus, but we have like a lot of buildings, and normally we meet in different buildings, and I spend a lot of time trying to find the right address across all the intranet sites. When I find it, I need to copy paste, and I want to provide a map. So I want to create an app that just facilitates and streamlines that workflow. So let me actually show you how to do that. So one of the capabilities in Visual Studio, it allows me to have a very interactive debugging experience. So in this case, I'm not going to stop the project. I'm going to leave Visual Studio running, but I will be able to modify the code. So I'm going to extend this code. With a couple of new references, I'm going to add jQuery. jQuery is this very popular library that allows me to do a better handling of the HTML elements. So this is one of the key things of the new model. You can use any third-party library that you that is useful for your project. And there's tons and tons of libraries that you can use. And then I'm going to replace the initial content provided to me by Visual Studio with just a simple div where I will collect all the list of buildings that I will read from my Microsoft service. I'm going to save that. And now I'm going to extend this JavaScript file, which is part of the project. So I'm going to add a couple of functions here. So nothing super fancy. I'm going to add an array for my buildings and a pointer to the service that provides the list of buildings. This is just a REST API that I'm hosting in Azure, that it's already there. I'm just going to connect to it. And now I'm going to add a function to load those buildings. So if you can see, I'm going to use jQuery to get the data as JSON data from that URL. And then I'm going to iterate and append it to that div that I added to my HTML file. And lastly, I'm going to add another function that allows me to insert the building details. So once the user selects something, I will be able to insert those building details into the email. So as you can see here, I'm using the Office object model provided by the Office JavaScript API, and Visual Studio gives me nice IntelliSense for all the object hierarchy there, so I can have this nice developing experience. Let's go ahead and save these and go back and refresh Exchange. So I'm going to start again a new email, come here and launch my app. Since I need to come here and refresh. Oh. Okay, so let me start the app. Oh, it seems for some reason it's not picking it up. Let me actually try that. Let me stop the project and just restart. Okay, so let's do a new email. Launch my app. Oh, wait a second. I think I modified the wrong file. Maybe. That may be a problem. Yeah, I added the HTML to the wrong file, so I'm just going to fix that. So sorry about that. that. Here's the div. And I'm going to make sure that I inserted the JavaScript in the right file. Yeah, that is there. Okay, now if I come to Visual Studio, sorry, and to Exchange and refresh, now it should, you should see the changes now. Let's see. Here's my app. Oh. Let me try to stop it just one more time. Try once again. Okay, there we go. Not sure what happened. So what this is doing is just running, rendering my HTML code. This is right now connecting to the service to read the buildings. It's going to obtain an array of buildings and hopefully show them to me here. Maybe I didn't modify the JavaScript file either. Let me see. Oh, I know what happened. I didn't call the load buildings function. I just need to add that in my initialization. So let's do that and come here and refresh. Okay. So hopefully now we will load the buildings. Actually put a breakpoint. I'm having some trouble refreshing the project. Yeah, for some reason it's not picking up my changes. Let me try one more time. Hopefully this time it will work. Okay, there we go. Okay, so now I'm debugging. You can expect like the usual Visual Studio F5 experience. So I'm just going to let it run. It's going to make the call to my service, and it's going to populate that div with an accordion provided by jQuery. And this is what was returned by my service, the building details. Now I click Insert here. And you can see I can populate the mail body with those details. So huge time saver for this particular scenario. Just a quick example of how easy it is to create these extensions. It's just HTML, JavaScript, and you can, of course, go to town here in terms of functionality and UI interactivity. it's just the web, so you can. Sure. So the question is that for someone that is a VB.NET programmer, what's the best way to learn jQuery and JavaScript? And yeah, I would say, get a book. Or actually, for me, it's more like go online, and there's tons of tutorials out there that show you, like they have interactive tutorials where you can actually code on your web browser and start learning how to do these things. We have tons of samples as well and tutorials on MSDN. So at the end of my presentation, I have a set of links that you can also follow if you want to get started with these technologies. So just a quick recap of what we saw. So we saw the new capabilities introduced in Service Pack 1 for Outlook, ability to extend Compose experiences for email and meetings. We didn't see these, but we also added new APIs to deal with attachments. So you saw how DocuSign was able to read the attachment and sign it. They're using one of the new APIs to be able to manage attachments. We also added support for paid apps, which was something that was not available in the initial release. Yeah, there's a question there. Oh, sorry, can you speak a little bit louder? I can.
All these features available in Office 2013, or do you need Office 365?
For these features, you just need Office 365. So if you're a subscriber in Office 365, you get all these automatically. But you also get them with Office 2013. There is a dependency on Exchange to be on the Service Pack 1. So you need your Exchange server to be Service Pack 1. But it doesn't need to be an Office 365 Exchange. It can be also an on-premises Exchange, as long as you have the Office 365 Service Pack 1 for Exchange and the Service Pack 1 for the desktop client, you can get the same experience. So let's switch now to Excel and see what are some of the new capabilities in Excel. So I'm going to open Excel here. And I want to show you some of the key examples that we enabled at RTM, which is data import scenarios. And I really like this demo because it really shows the power of integrating very powerful services into Office, in this case Exchange. So I'm going to show you a quick app that we build internally to integrate with Wolfram Alpha. So Wolfram Alpha is this knowledge search engine that provides you the ability to go to the web and enter these natural language queries, and they go and crawl the web and put that information in a very structured way and give you all sorts of interesting data sets and calculations. So in this case, this is the Wolfram Alpha website. I can go there and ask for example, what is the population? Actually, I can say, what is the Mexican? I'm from Mexico. What's the Mexican population in Texas, and let's see. So they will go back and put that information and give me all sorts of rich data about that query. Now, I want to show you an app that integrates that service. So in this case, I created this Magic Fill app. So imagine that I'm in Excel and I have a table of data where I'm analyzing sales. So I have sales by state, and I want to launch a new product, and I want to compare the sales with the potential target population that I will be targeting with my product. So actually I don't need that column. So what I want to do is basically use this app to select a table. It's going to read the columns of that table. And this app connects to Wolfram Alpha and allows me to import data from Wolfram Alpha right into my Excel spreadsheet. So I'm going to add a new column using this app. And I can put any query that Wolfram Alpha can take in this text box. So in this case, I'm interested in what is the young adult population, because this new product is for young adults, of the state column. So this is going to, of course, iterate over all the rows. And I can say, okay, now add that column. And this is going to connect to Wolfram Alpha, do all these queries for me, and bring the information back into Excel. So this is actually a pretty cool scenario because instead of me having to switch back and forth many times to get this data, with just the click of a button, I get all these rich data from a very powerful service right into my Excel spreadsheet. So this is one of the key scenarios that we enable with Apps for Office. Now, at RTM, a lot of people gave us feedback that we didn't have a lot of capabilities around controlling the formatting for this data that was being imported. So in Service Pack 1, we added a set of new APIs that allow you to control the format for data. So you can not only import, but you can also format data. So just to show you, I have a table here that is not formatted. I'm going to insert another sample app here. This is an app that we built internally. Also, from a testing perspective, let me close that. And you can see this is a replica of the ribbon. Of course, we don't expect you to create this type of app, but this is just to show the capabilities of the API. I can come here and say that's format data as a table. You can see the code that I needed to write in order to do that type of formatting. I can do a lot of the same things that you can do from the UI just using the JavaScript API. I can change the color. I can control headers. I can actually do specific formatting for particular cells. So if I want to change the background of a particular cell, I can go and do that all from the API. So this is just a new set of capabilities available in Excel to enhance the data import scenarios. So we also added a few improvements to the way the data binding works. In the past, apps were all only able to bind to tables when you actually had an actual table in Excel. Now you can bind to ranges and still have a table binding behavior. We enabled another things like ability to bind to data when the app is inserted. So if you're creating a visualization app like a Bing Maps, I actually didn't show you that, but let me quickly go back to this and show you a couple things that we also added. So we added these what we call pre-installed or out-of-the-box apps. For example, in this case, we have Bing Maps. So if I click in that button, I get a Bing Maps app that now ships out of the box with Service Pack 1. And this allows me, of course, to select this data and then visualize it on a map. So I can now see that data in a geographical representation. So, and this is using the new table binding capabilities. I can bind to partial ranges and not complete tables necessarily. So let's switch to Word now. So in order to show you what's available in Word, I want to create a new app. But in this case, let's start a new project here. I love this search feature in Visual Studio. You can just search any command if you don't know where to find it, and it actually gives you the shortcut. For example, I want to launch the start page, so you can launch the start page right from there. So for this next demo, we're going to create an app for Word in Visual Studio. But instead of starting from scratch, I'm going to start with an existing project. Just to show you that creating apps for Office allows you to leverage any existing investments that you have on web projects, you can actually leverage for apps for Office. In fact, the Poll Everywhere app that I show you, that app was created and published to the store in about 3 weeks by the Poll Everywhere team. And the reason they were able to create the app that fast was because they actually didn't have to start from scratch. They already had a lot of the UI and the services because they have a web client and they have mobile clients all created using HTML and JavaScript. All they needed to do was take those projects and adapt them to integrate into Office. So that's what we're going to do here. So I have this Office 365 sample project. So imagine this is a web project that you already created in Visual Studio. It had nothing to do with apps for Office, but what we're going to do is extend the project to enable it to integrate with Office. So in this case, I'm going to show you what the project does today without the apps for Office integration. In this case, it's a very simple project, but it basically using the new capabilities that we added on the platform API side to use new APIs for SharePoint and for single sign-on. So as you saw, what I did just here is I click on the SharePoint tab, and this app is basically connecting to my OneDrive. So it's using single sign-on. It's picking up my Office 365 credentials, and it's going to connect to OneDrive, and it's displaying the list of documents that I have in my OneDrive folder. Similarly, it can connect to Exchange. So for example, if I click on mail, it can read my email. This is using the Office 365 REST APIs, and it's just a web project. It doesn't integrate with Office contextually yet. So, but imagine this is like any application that you already have, but that you want to leverage all this code to integrate into Office. So let's see what we can do to make that happen. So I'm going to use this very nice feature in Visual Studio that allows me to convert that project to an App for Office project. And actually, more than a conversion, is really kind of an extension, because the project is not going to be modified. I'm going to show you what's going to happen. So let's create a new Task Pane app. In this case, I want to extend Word, so I'm going to select Word. And while this happens, let me actually talk about the scenario that I want to enable here. So what I want to do is, I have these annual reports that we generate in my company every year. I want to create a process that allows me to review and have a workflow for the review and approval of this process. And when the document is done, I want to publish it to the OneDrive location for my company as a PDF. So we're going to use some new APIs that we added in Service Pack 1 for Word that allow me to identify sections of the document, navigate to those sections to allow the review process, and also a new API that allows me to convert the document to PDF and publish it to a service. So let's do that by leveraging the existing solution that I had in Visual Studio. So I'm going to close this document. So the conversion has successfully finished here. And let's see what happened. Really what happened is that a new project was added to the solution to represent my App for Office, and the rest was pretty much left as it was before. So in order to integrate this into Word, what I'm going to do is I'm going to add that document to my solution, that annual report template document, as part of my solution. So I'm going to add annual report there. And the other thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to tell Visual Studio to use that document for my debugging. So instead of starting a new document, I'm going to use that annual report for these debugging sessions. And the last thing that I want to do is, as you see, this new project that got added is basically just an XML manifest, which is the file that describes how the website that I had before is going to integrate into Office. One thing that I want to do is, because I'm going to use the single sign-on capabilities from Office 365, I'm going to add this app domains section to my App for Office manifest. What this is doing is that, from security perspective, apps for Office are isolated. So if you try to navigate to a page that is not in the same domain as the main page of your app, that page is going to be opened in a separate browser, because we isolate the app. So all I'm doing here is basically specify additional app domains that are going to be part of my app, so that the project doesn't pop them out, but they are considered to be integral part of my solution. That's all I'm doing. So I'm going to be navigating to the login for Microsoft Online and Windows Azure. So I'm going to consider those as trusted domains that are part of my app. And just with those two changes, let's run the project again and see what happens. So it opens my annual report document, and now I have the ability to insert that Office 365 sample app that I'm debugging. So it's going to insert it as a task pane, and it's going to automatically navigate to the main page that we saw in the browser. Now, that page is now showing inside the task pane. You can see it's the same HTML, but that HTML was created so that it's responsive. So if you browse to it on a phone, it will look nice. And this is actually something nice about task panes, because they are actually the same size of a phone screen, of a Windows phone screen. So if you already have a website that behaves nice on a phone, it's very easy for you to make it work in a task pane in Apps for Office. So we already have this app working here, but it doesn't do much in terms of the review scenario. So let's add some functionality to the project to enable my review scenario. And of course, I already coded all this integration with SharePoint, with Exchange, with do the single sign-on. I don't want to repeat that code. I just wanted to leverage that code. So I'm going to open that code. And in this case, this is an MVC4 application with a bunch of controllers. I'm going to open the controller that takes care of connecting to SharePoint, because I want to extend this to publish to OneDrive and also have an additional view for my App for Office. So let me add a couple of functions here. I'm going to add a new view to render the UI of my app for Office. And I'm going to add a function that allows me to publish the finished document as PDF. So this is going to receive a file array, byte array from the client. I'm going to put a breakpoint there to see what happens. So for my view, I'm going to create a new HTML page. So I'm going to use the wizard to create a new view here and say add. This is going to automatically give me an empty HTML file that I'm going to fill in with some HTML. Just to quickly show you what's going on here, I'm adding some script references to load the Office JavaScript API, to load jQuery, which allows me to deal with the DOM. And then I'm going to add my own JavaScript code, which I'm going to do next. And then I have a bunch of elements in my HTML. I have a review and publish section that has a button that allows me to mark sections in the document for review. I have a list of pending reviews. And I have a publish to OneDrive section that basically it's a form that allows me to post the file to my server to OneDrive. Now, I need to add the JavaScript behind these functions. So I'm going to add a new script file here. So new JavaScript, I'm going to call it app for Office. And that's going to give me a blank file, which I'm going to add some initialization code. And then I'm going to add a set of functions that allow me to create mark sections in the document. And this is using the document APIs enabled by the Office JavaScript library. So I can save the list of reviews in my document. I can show the list of reviews that I have marked. This function, create binding, is basically establishing a new binding from the selection. Whenever I select something in the document, I can click a button, bind to that section, and you will see that that is going to remember the location of the selection and allow me to navigate back to it. And then this navigation function that allows me to go to that section that was selected by the previous function. And this is a new API that we added in Service Pack 1, the ability to navigate. And lastly, I'm going to add the functions that allow me to create the PDF. Again, this is all JavaScript. And I'm using this new file async API, also added in Service Pack 1, that allows me to obtain the PDF representation of the current document in memory. So with all that, the only thing that I need to do is just add an entry point to my app, to the new page, HTML page that I created. So for that, I'm going to modify an existing shared page, which is the layout CSHTML, which gives me the Chrome of all the pages in my project. So as you can see, here's all the links to home, about, SharePoint, Exchange tabs. I'm going to add a new one here for my app for Office. So it's just a new link on that menu that is going to point to the SharePoint sample controller that in turn is going to render that HTML page that I just added. So let's see how all that comes together. So that's going to launch my app again with my annual report document. Again, same interface. Hopefully, I'll see a new entry point here for my app for Office. Here it is. So I'm going to click on that. And this is going to, in this case, I'm not signed in, so I'm going to sign it here. Actually say keep me signed in. Oh, I missed an N here. So you see this sign-in flow, I didn't have to code. That was already part of my project. I'm just reusing that code. So this is going to render the view, the HTML view that I just added. So let's see. Hopefully that will just come up. It's taking its time. Let me try to reload. Let me see if I added the right. Another issue with this. HTML, CSHTML. Yeah, I have everything. Maybe it's just, oh, there it is. It was just taking its time. So here's my HTML. You can actually use. So you can see the HTML that I just added. And this HTML has the JavaScript behind that allows me to, in this case, select. Let's say I want to review this section. And I want to say, please update with latest numbers. And I can click Mark for Review. This is going to, you see how this bounding box, which is a content control, appeared because I'm using the JavaScript API to create a binding to that section. So I can create a few of these, like for example here, I want to mark that for review as well. And on the key takeaways, add content, please, mark for review. Now what I can do is I can click on these elements, and anyone that comes to this document can see the list of pending reviews. They can see where we're missing tasks and navigate to those sections directly. This is all using the new JavaScript APIs we added in Service Pack 1. And the last thing we want to do is we want to publish the finished document. So let's say we're happy with all the reviews. Now let's publish this document. Let's call it Final Report. And then click this Publish PDF document. So this is going to use the Get File Async API, get the PDF representation of the document, and send it to my server-side code, where I'm receiving the file as a byte array. So you can see it's just a collection of bytes there. And I'm going to use the existing code that I already had to connect to OneDrive to basically post that file to my OneDrive location. So you see that the last thing that I do in this function is redirect to the existing page for my SharePoint sample that basically shows the list of files that I had in my OneDrive. So I let it run. And this will hopefully refresh with that page that I didn't have to create that was already there. But since I published that file there, I can see now the file published in my OneDrive location. And if I open it, you can see that this is actually hosted in OneDrive. So I can see the final report. So again, pretty cool way to enable users to be in Word, do this review flow, publish all within Word without having to leave their context, and enable using the new Office 365 APIs and Apps for Office with the new Service Pack APIs in Office.js. So just a quick recap of what we saw. So we added new navigation APIs and file handling APIs in Service Pack 1. We enabled improved collaboration and co-authoring. When you have apps and you have co-authoring sessions, now we allow you to have apps in those scenarios. We also demonstrated how you can create an app for Office with an existing project. You don't need to start from scratch, which is actually really powerful. And we also saw how to integrate apps for Office with Office 365 services. In this case, we demonstrated how to publish to OneDrive. But you can similarly integrate with Exchange to read contacts, emails. And in the future, as we add more Office 365 APIs, you will be able to leverage all those APIs from within your apps for Office as well. So Let's switch to Apps for Office in Access, which is one of the new capabilities. So I'll show you a very quick demo of how Apps for Office can be added to Access. So let's start a new project here. And I'm going to create a new App for Office. In this case, I'm going to select content. This is the type that is supported in Excel and Access. And I'm going to create a new visualization app. So there is, oh, sorry about that. So I just started a new project. This is the new project wizard. I'm going to create a new visualization, data visualization app. This is one of the templates that comes with Visual Studio. And you can see how visualization apps run in Access and Excel. I'm going to click Finish here. And this is going to give me a default experience in Excel. If I just run it, let's see what Visual Studio gives me out of the box. It gives me this app that allows me to have some sample data. It renders that data. It is bound. So if I update here, it updates the bar. So very simple, but it could be really interesting. Let's add a little bit of code to this app to enable it to actually also render what is the selection. So in this case, I'm going to extend this home function. I'm going to add a new event handler here to detect when the user changes the selection in Excel. And then I'm going to, when the selection changes, I'm going to highlight that row. So all I'm doing is changing the background color from dark green to red in the HTML of that app. So let's save this file and refresh here. And now let's see, as I select, you can see how that changes. Now, what I'm going to do is I want to use that app that works in Excel. I want to use it in Access. So this is also one of the benefits of the new app model. You can create an app for one Office product, but because we have common APIs that work across products, you can make those apps work beyond the product that you just created. So this same visualization app, I can make work in Access. So for that, I'm going to publish this app to my Office 365 environment. So let me show you very quickly how to do that. All I need to do is publish the manifest to the app catalog in my Office 365 so that an Access application can recognize that that app exists. And I'm going to publish the web project to Azure. So in this case, I'm going to say publish. And I go to the publishing wizard in Visual Studio. In this case, I don't have a profile, but I'm going to import a new profile. Importing a new profile is actually pretty easy. If you go to your, you have an Azure account, if you go to Azure portal, in this case I have this Rolando J demo website here, and I can come here and download the publishing profile. So this is going to download a settings file that I can use in Visual Studio to enable easy publishing to that particular Azure website. So once I have my publishing profile, I just import it here in Visual Studio. Here it is, Rolando J Demo Publishing Settings. I'm going to import that. And now I'm going to say I want to deploy this project to Azure. So in the connection, I want to use HTTPS. That's a requirement for Apps for Office. That's all I need to change in my profile, publishing profile. And I'm going to hit publish. So that this is going to publish all my HTML and JavaScript files to that Azure location that I have. So as soon as it is done, we'll be able to navigate to that. So if now I open that Rolando J demo, you can see here is my visualization app. Of course, it's not showing any data because it's not connected to an Office product, but it is there. Now that I have that in Azure, all I need to do is publish the manifest for this app. So I'm going to say package the app, and this is the wizard. I'm just going to click finish. This is going to give me a manifest file. Now, what you do with that manifest file is you publish, this is an enterprise deployment scenario, so if you're an IT admin and you want to deploy this to all your users in your Office 365 tenant, all you need to do is copy that file that Visual Studio generated for you and put it into your app catalog in Office 365. So in order to get to that app catalog, I just go to my admin SharePoint console, and there is an entry point to manage apps there. So if you click there, you will see the app catalog in Office 365. Now, all I need to do is go to the Apps for Office section of that app catalog, and you can see there I have all the apps that I already published. All I need to do is copy that file, that manifest file, from my local machine to that location, and now it is available to all the users in my organization. So if I come to Excel, for example, and I say insert, and I go to my organization, you can see right now the app is not there, but if I click refresh, that app is now there, Office App 2. So publishing is as easy as copying that manifest file to your app catalog. And that is not only available to my desktop clients, but also to my Access application. So if you have an Access app, one of the new Access apps, in this case I have this new web Access app for tracking students, I can use that app for Office that I just created for Excel in Access as well. So Access added this new capability to add apps for Office to existing Access apps. In this case, I'm going to refresh, so you can see here's the app that I just published. And I can insert that app into my existing Access experience. And you see the same code that was working in Excel is working with Access. I can bind to the existing student data, so I can bind the first name. You can see the binding experience is different, but the API calls and the code is the same. It's just that, in this case, Access is providing a different binding UI, but I can bind the two columns. And now the BARD renders. This is my visualization. And as I select different records, you can see how that app for Office is also updating. So this is just demonstrating how we can use common APIs to create apps that extend not only one Office product, but multiple Office products at the same time. So we saw the enterprise deployment. So as a developer, you produce a package. You deploy your web project to a web server that can be Azure, or it can be any server in your intranet or internet. Then you deploy the app manifest to your catalog. It can be your corporate catalog, or you can publish it to the global Office store. And once you do that, your end users and consumers can get access to those apps right in context with their clients. And for Access, we saw the new capabilities for apps to extend Excel and Access. We saw the Azure integration, and we also saw the new capabilities for creating and debugging these apps in Visual Studio. And just to wrap up, I want to just quickly talk about also other common enhancements we did in Service Pack 1. We improved the store experiences. So before, we required people to be signed in with their Microsoft account in order to use apps. Now that is no longer necessary. People can acquire free apps anonymously. Of course, if they want to acquire a paid app, they will need to sign in. We also did a bunch of improvements in terms of the UX and simplify the acquisition flows. That's something that we will continue to improve going forward, make sure that it's easy for users to get access to apps. So some key takeaways that I like you guys to leave with. The first one is apps for Office are the means going forward to enable contextual experiences in all the different Office endpoints that Office 365 offers. So right now we support desktop and online clients. You should expect that in the future we will extend this platform to all the different Office clients. So apps for Office will be the new way for you to extend Office. Service Pack 1, as you saw, brings big improvements to the existing set of APIs and existing capabilities. We saw Compose in Outlook, Content Apps in PowerPoint, Apps in Access, and these are a few of the new things that we added in Service Pack 1. We saw how custom solutions that integrate into many endpoints, like DocuSign that integrates into Outlook, Word, and SharePoint, are the most powerful solutions because they bring custom services in the context where the user is actually interacting with the Office application. So when you think about apps for Office, think about them holistically and think if it makes sense to integrate with Excel, with Word, with PowerPoint, you can actually do these with the new model. And lastly, we saw how you can leverage your existing investments. So if you already have a lot of web code for existing applications created on top of web technologies, you can actually leverage those assets. You don't need to start from scratch. You can just grab them up or create extensions to those projects that integrate and project those services into Office. So just to wrap up, dev.office.com, if you want to learn more about what's new in Service Pack 1 of just ramp up with apps for Office from scratch, that is your one-stop shop for learning resources. We just renewed the pages there, so there's a lot of new samples and new content that you will be able to use. So explore the MSDN library. You can go to the forums and give feedback. We have the user voice. Let me see, where is that? Must be a link here. Well, you will find some a link at the end of this slide deck to the user voice. So please add your suggestion, add your feedback to user voice. It's something that we constantly see from a product perspective, and we try to be responsive and come back with new features and new capabilities based on what you guys tell us that you'd like to see. This one is interesting. AMS is a site. You can access it through that URL. This is where we have a lot of very useful samples to do various things and use the new capabilities that we are releasing all the time. So check this site periodically if you want to see what's going on in terms of samples and code that you can copy. So I'm happy to also be in touch with you directly. So if you want to ask me questions, feel free to send me an email. That's my email address and my Twitter handle. In case you want to follow some updates, I frequently be updating new things as we release them through my Twitter account as well, so feel free to follow me on Twitter. And this is just additional content. So with that, I want to wrap up. So thank you very much for coming today, and hopefully this was a useful session, and you learned a lot about Apps for Office and Service Pack 1. Thank you.